Chapter 19. The Will. Another year passed, and Dr. Sloper became very ill. After a 3-week illness, during which Catherine and Mrs. Penniman were always at his bedside, he died. When his will was opened, it was discovered that he had changed it shortly before his death. Catherine received only a fifth of his property.
"She is well provided for from her mother's side,"
the will read.
"Her fortune is already more than sufficient to attract those unscrupulous adventurers whom she regards as an interesting class."
He left the rest of his fortune to several different hospitals and schools of medicine in various cities. Mrs. Penniman thought that the will was cruel and unjust, but Catherine simply said,
"I like it very much. I only wish it had been expressed differently."
Catherine and her aunt continued to live in the big house in Washington Square. Catherine usually spent the month of August at a hotel at the seaside. One warm summer evening in July, the two ladies were sitting in front of an open window, and Mrs. Penniman said,
"Catherine, I have something to say that will surprise you."
She paused and then said,
"I have seen Morris Townsend."
Catherine remained still. Then she said,
"I hope he was well."
"I don't know. He has changed. He would like very much to see you."
"I would rather not see him,"
said Catherine quickly.
"I met him at Marion's, and they are so afraid you will meet him there. I think that's why he goes. He wants so much to see you."
Catherine said nothing, and Mrs. Penniman went on.
"He is still very handsome, but of course he looks older. Things have not gone well for him. He has been all over the world, but his evil star was against him. I believe he married a lady in Europe, but she died shortly after. The first thing he did was to ask me about you. He heard that you had never married, and he seemed very interested in this. He said you had been the real romance of his life."
Catherine stared at the ground and listened silently.
"Please, say no more."
"But he wants so much to see you."
"Please don't, Aunt Lavinia,"
said Catherine, getting up from her seat. She moved quickly to the other window, which was open to the balcony. Her aunt could not see her behind the white curtains. She was trembling, and her heart was beating loudly. Feelings that she thought were dead began to stir. Then suddenly she burst into tears, silent tears that Mrs. Penniman could not see, but suspected. A week passed, and one evening as they sat in the front parlor, Mrs. Penniman suddenly said,
"Morris has sent you a message. He wishes to see you. He says his happiness depends on it."
"My happiness does not,"
said Catherine.
"He is going away again. He has something very important to say to you. He believes that you never understood him and that you never judged him in the right way. He wishes to meet you as a friend."
Catherine listened to this wonderful speech without looking up from her embroidery. Then she said simply,
"Please say to Mr. Townsend that I wish he would leave me alone."
She had just finished speaking when the doorbell rang. Catherine looked up at the clock. It was 9:15, a very late hour for visitors. Catherine's eyes turned quickly to her aunt, who was blushing.
"Aunt Penniman,"
she said, in a tone that frightened her companion,
"what have you done?"
"My dearest Catherine,"
stammered Mrs. Penniman,
"just wait until you see him."
Catherine had frightened her aunt, but she was also frightened. And before she could do something, the servant had opened the door and announced his name.
"Mr. Morris Townsend."
She heard the name, and she stood with her back to the door of the parlor. She remained still, feeling that he had come in. He had not spoken, however, and at last she turned around. There she saw a gentleman standing in the middle of the room, from which her aunt had discreetly left. She would never have recognized him. He was 45 years old. He was fatter. His hair was thin, and he had a thick beard, I have come, he said, and then he paused, looking around him as if he expected her to ask him to sit down. It was the old voice, but it did not have the old charm. Morris was embarrassed, but Catherine gave him no help. How could she welcome him when she did not want him to come?
I wanted to so much. I was determined,
Morris went on. Catherine continued to look at him and made the strangest observation. This was the man who had been everything, and yet this person was nothing. How long ago it was, how old she had grown, how much she had lived. The story of his life was written in his eyes. He had made himself comfortable, and he had never been caught. His presence was painful to her, and she wished he would go.
I think it was wrong of you to come,
said Catherine.
Did Mrs. Penniman give you my message?
She told me something, but I did not understand.
I wish you would let me tell you.
I don't think it is necessary,
said Catherine.
Not for you, perhaps, but for me.
He seemed to be coming nearer, and Catherine turned away.
Can't we be friends again?
We are not enemies,
said Catherine. He moved closer to her. She saw his beard and the eyes above it, looking strange and hard. It was very different from his old, from his young face.
Catherine,
he murmured,
I have never stopped thinking of you.
Please don't say these things,
she answered.
If my presence troubles you, I will go away, but you must let me come again.
Please, don't come again,
she said.
It is wrong of you. There is no reason for it. You have treated me badly.
That is not true. You had your quiet life with your father, which I did not want to rob from you.
Yes, I had that.
Morris knew about Dr. Sloper's will and about the property she had inherited, but he said nothing.
Catherine, have you forgiven me?
I forgave you years ago, but it is useless for us to try to be friends.
We can forget the past. We still have a future.
I can't forget. I don't forget,
said Catherine.
You treated me too badly. I felt it very much for years. I can't begin again. Everything is dead and buried. It was too serious. It made a great change in my life. I never expected to see you here.
Morris looked at her and asked,
Why have you never married?
I didn't wish to marry.
Yes, you are rich, you are free. Marriage had nothing to offer you.
Morris looked vaguely around him, gave a deep sigh, and said,
Well, I had hoped that we could still be friends.
There is no possibility of that,
said Catherine.
Goodbye, then,
said Morris. She stood there, looking at the ground, after she had heard him close the door of the room. In the hall, he found Mrs. Penniman, curious and eager.
That was a precious plan of yours,
said Morris.
Is she so hard?
Asked Mrs. Penniman.
She doesn't care a button for me,
said Morris.
But why then has she never married?
Yes, why?
Sighed Mrs. Penniman.
But you will not give up. You will come back.
Come back? Certainly not.
And Morris Townsend walked out of the house, leaving Mrs. Penniman staring. Catherine, meanwhile, in the parlor, picking up her embroidery, had seated herself with it again. For life, as it were.